This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. Start of the show, obviously, talking about the Mets. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You can also download the podcast version of the show. Right now, we are joined by Howie Rose, who is in Atlanta. And Howie, before we even get into the game or what lies ahead here, what's up with the weather? What are you hearing or what are we expecting to see when the Mets might get these games in, especially tonight?
Well, nothing terribly optimistic. It's not raining now. It rained a little bit earlier this morning. I am shocked that MLB, and I understand there are a lot of moving parts here, and there are a lot of considerations, not the least of which is if they wanted to get the Mets out of here early, if they wanted to try to play a doubleheader today, which I think would have been a good idea to at least try, the Mets could not get into their hotel in Milwaukee a day early. Now, you know, conceivably, you could stay in Chicago and then bust to Milwaukee on the off day, but, you know, that's a little bit too simplistic right now because it's more complicated than that. But right now, here in Atlanta, it is not raining. But the Mets have already moved their batting practice indoors off the field for later this afternoon in anticipation of the rain, which is supposed to pretty well dominate the evening. Now, you look at the forecast depending on what you look at, and yeah, there's an hour here where it's cloudy instead of rainy, maybe 2 hours later in the night. I don't know. It's a crapshoot. I wish they would have been a little more proactive about trying to squeeze these games in. And again, there are a lot of considerations, not the least of which, of course, are the financial ones. The Braves don't want to give up a gate. But the possibility is there, if not strong, that they might have to come here and play one or even two games on Monday with the potential for having to make a cross-country flight to San Diego, potentially, to begin a playoff series the following day. I mean, this is just beyond belief how complicated and sort of precarious a situation this is.
It's total bullcrap, Howie. And the Braves, and they can worry about the gate all they want. They're going to get forced into a doubleheader anyway. You could argue that the Mets should have played two yesterday, and I think I heard you talk about that on the broadcast early on. Okay, but fine, you want to say that's too early? Then it should have been two today, or at the very least, move this game from tonight up. Like,
exactly.
It makes no sense. Now, the last one I want to ask you on this is, when are you planning, or the Mets planning on flying out of Atlanta, regardless of how many games are played there?
Well, the plan was, obviously, play tomorrow night and get out of here. But in case you missed the news, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, has already declared a state of emergency. Now, a lot of that was somewhat preemptive to mobilize their forces from an emergency management standpoint. But at the same time, if in fact that manifests to where you've got hurricane force winds tomorrow night, answer me how in heck the Mets are supposed to get out of here. So, you know, there's another scenario that you have to consider, whether it's remote or not, that say they get today's game in. And I firmly believe that they should have been proactive the way they were with that game in Detroit and moved today's game up to an afternoon start, maybe even scheduled a doubleheader for today, and try to get the two in today and get the Mets out of here before the weather gets any worse. But, you know, shy of that, the Mets are supposed to fly out of here after tomorrow night's game. And if they can't, well, what do you do? They've got to be in Milwaukee Friday. Do they bang Friday and play a doubleheader Saturday, assuming the Mets can get out of here Friday? So based on that scenario, guys, the potential exists. And I don't know how realistic this is, but you have to consider it, that the Mets might have to play a doubleheader in Milwaukee on Saturday if they can't get out of here until Friday, and then come back here and maybe play a doubleheader on Monday and have to fly cross-country to begin a playoff series the next day in San Diego. That's all plausible.
Wow. Is there no chance, as remote as it might be, that they just use a different venue, Tropicana Field? I mean, we've seen that in the NFL.
I would think they would try to stay away from Florida, even though, well, Tropicana, I would say no to Tropicana right off the top because that's kind of the western part of the state where they're likely to be more impacted. The southeast part of Florida apparently is going to be spared from the worst of it, but they wouldn't go to Florida. I think, as I looked, you know, the potential existed for going to Milwaukee. And how cool would that be? The return of the Milwaukee Braves for a game or two. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Or certainly Texas. The Texas Rangers are not playing in their home park.
So,
I mean, look, they don't want to do that. I understand that. But it might have been the prudent thing to do. I can remember a neutral site game for the Cubs, which I think they played in Milwaukee, when Carlos Zambrano pitched a no-hitter. Against, I think it was the Houston Astros, in a game they had to move from, I guess, Chicago from Milwaukee to Milwaukee because of bad weather. It's crazy. I could sit here and give you the 10 different scenarios, all of which have a certain amount of plausibility, but I wouldn't, attach the term likely to any of them because right now it's not raining and they seem to think they can get a game in tonight.
Absolutely bonkers. Howie Rose, BT and Sal here on The Fan. All right, so let's get to the game. As you know, there's generally a correlation between confidence and performance, and the Braves fans expect them to win. Braves players feel good when they play the Mets. Did the Mets look tight to you last night?
I don't know how to answer that because they didn't play well. You know, there were mistakes made on that little swinging roller up the first base line, third base line, which was going to be a hit anyway, that Severino was in position to field and throw. Alvarez basically kept going and ran into Severino, complicating his throw to first, which, as you remember, went down the right field line.
Yep.
Marte missed a cutoff man. Acuna on a potential double play ball bobbled, had to settle for one. I don't know. I mean, you can, if you want to ascribe it to tightness, you can. I like to look at it based on the fact that it's one game as something you could throw out. But don't forget, they've got to face Chris Sale tonight. And that brings us, by the way, to another potential scenario. Suppose they start this game, but they've got to delay it because of rain. You've got the, I would say right now, presumptive Cy Young Award winner in the National League, Chris Sale, who might have to be shut down if the rain delay is substantial, and then they come back and they lose Sale. Remember, with his physical history, they've got to be somewhat mindful of that and careful with him. So, I mean, it's just another question that kind of hangs over tonight's game. But, yeah, I mean, the Mets certainly were flat last night. Tight, flat, I don't know. There's a distinction there. But to the naked eye, yeah, you could probably make the point they looked a little tight.
Yeah, and I feel like we've seen this story before for going over 25 freaking years, Howie. You're the perfect guy to ask about this because not only are you a fan, but you've obviously been around this team, covering this team, broadcasting this team for many, many years. For me, I take it personally, and I can't eliminate the history from my mind. But I talked to Terry Collins. He's like, players don't really generally get caught up in that stuff. And I know Mendoza's a different manager than Buck Showalter in 2022. But there are some core players here that got beat and were prevented from celebrating with the champagne in 2022 by this Atlanta Braves team in that freaking house of horrors.
Here's the difference between 22 and now for me.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All through September of 22, you could almost see it coming, right? I mean, if you go back just 2 years, you know, their play, remember they had series after series where it looked like they had a soft and favorable schedule, and they kept losing games to teams that, you know, had they played up to the level that you expected, you would not have thought they would lose to. This was a different kind of September. And not only September, this team's had the best record in baseball since the end of May. So I feel different about them at this point of the year than I did 2 years ago, because I'm telling you, you could almost see it coming before they even got to Atlanta in 22. This is different. You know, I'm willing to shrug last night off and see what happens tonight. And again, obviously you're going against Chris Sale, and that's less than an appetizing possibility. But, you know, they pushed Sale back a day because they were concerned about, I say concerned, but his velocity was down a little bit. His last time out, he wasn't nearly as sharp as he had been. So they gave him the extra day. And whether that's an indicator that something's up there, I don't know. But, I mean, they just beat Zach Wheeler, who certainly is in the conversation for the Cy Young. So, look, I've been around long enough. I know when it seemed that the gods were very much aligned with the Mets. I was there for the ball on the wall, just as I was for the ball on the bag the other night. You know, I was there for all the great moments in 69. So, you know, I know that there have been times in their history, need I even mention a little roller up along first, where it seemed like somebody wanted the Mets to win. I'm not willing to say that here we go again off of one game.
There you go.
I love that.
Maybe my partner's going to start
a little better now.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit better, but they got to win tonight. Like, I was with you, Howie, until I saw last night, which just felt and looked all too familiar. You're right. It is different. But then again, you see that. Good God.
You pulled him toward the positive side of the street, sentence by sentence, Howie. By the way, how much fun was the Philly series?
It was great. And again, you know, you go back to Sunday night and the electricity in that crowd when Brandon Nimmo hit the home run. I mean, I talked to Brandon on the plane on the way down here, and he said he was going to remember that moment and that night for the rest of his life. However this turns out, you know, that's how caught up in it he's been. And if you've heard his post-game interviews, especially when they fed the house, meaning that they're heard by the crowd in the ballpark at the time he's speaking, I mean, he has been as pumped up as he's ever been. So whatever happens the rest of this week is not going to be because of a lack of chemistry and cohesion on this club. They're pulling in the same direction. They really could use their de facto captain back. And the fact that Lindor was in the on-deck circle in the ninth inning last night is encouraging. We'll see if he's in the lineup today and whether or not the potential for the bad weather, you know, might complicate that in terms of the decision, because the last thing you need is him making a move on a wet field that sets him back to the point where, you know, he's out again. So we'll see later when the lineup comes out, and maybe a late lineup, given that they're going to want to see him go through every move and exercise possible. But I would be encouraged by that, too, the possibility of Lindor playing tonight.
I think he's going to play. I did see him running the bases, and he had one of those vests on. I couldn't tell if it was tracking some of the data, like, you know, the GPS, the sprint speed, or if it was actually a weighted vest. I couldn't tell. Myself, I didn't think that his gait looked great. Did you see the video that I'm referencing, and what'd you think of the way he was running?
Yeah, guys, he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah.
You know, we may be hoping for a Willis Reed moment here. You know, I don't know. It's very hard because he's frustrated, and I think everybody's frustrated, because the good news is that not only did they do the MRI a week ago, but they also did a bone scan day before yesterday, and that all came back clean. I mean, they were concerned that if he's, you know, not progressing the way they hoped that he would, maybe the MRI missed something. That's why they did the bone scan, but that came back clean.
Okay.
So it's a matter of being able, and I asked him this yesterday, I said, what percentage, knowing your own body and how you handle pain, what percent relative to 100% can you comfortably play at and feel that you can help the team? Well, he didn't want to put a percentage on it, but he described it this way. He said he can't see himself playing until when he makes a move and feels pain, the pain quickly goes away, because that's what happens to him when he's a little bit compromised. You know, he may sprint and then have to come to a short stop or make a pivot to make a play defensively, and he'll feel something, but in a best-case scenario, that feeling, you want to call it pain, fine, goes away almost instantaneously. That hadn't been the case until he started running yesterday. Okay. And beyond that, I haven't spoken to him yet to find out how he felt from that point on. But he seemed to say yesterday that he wasn't there yet, and that's where he'd have to be before he would be comfortable playing.
Would you keep Acuna in the lineup somehow, assuming Lindor does come back to play short?
Well, I don't know where you're going to play him at that point. You're not going to take Iglesias out. You're not going to take Vientos out. You're not going to play him in center field right now. No, I think he'd
put
be
him
a weapon off the bench.
Put him at second. Put him at second.
What about Iglesias? You said
put Iglesias at Sal and I talked about this yesterday. Put him at second. Put Iglesias at third.
What are you, DH Vientos?
Yeah, yes. And you sit Martinez, who's done nothing.
Or with Keith Hernandez on with Boomer and Geo yesterday saying that Dick Scott, I guess, said that Acuna could play center, you know, Bader struggling. I wouldn't do that myself, but that's why I was curious to get your take. So you'd have Acuna on the bench.
Well, you bring up the scenario regarding JD, and Carlos Mendoza indicated pretty strongly last night that Martinez is going to be in there for the next two with left-handers on the mound, you know, Sale tonight for the Braves, and then Freed tomorrow, assuming that they play either or both of these games. So I think the plan is for Martinez to play both of these games, and I'd be surprised if they went through all those machinations just to get Acuna in there. I do look at that bobble yesterday as a sign that, okay, you know, this kid's still raw. It cost them an out. Could have been an ending double play. I'm pitting the loss on him, obviously. I'm going with the seasoned guy here, if you're asking me. And the other thing is, I like the weapon of Acuna off the bench to steal a base.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sal. I thought that ball came up on him, and there were a couple of instances.
It did a little bit. Did a little.
Even for the Braves, where just shortstop seemed pretty rocky, pretty hard last night.
Well, you know, it used to be, going back too far, Davey Johnson used to tell me that this is when they played at the original ballpark here.
Fulton County Stadium.
Yep. Davey used to say the infield in Atlanta was the worst he'd ever seen.
Wow.
And it's all different. It's all different now. These fields are all different, and you hardly ever see bad hops anymore. Yeah, that came up on. Sometimes that has to do with the spin, too.
But, uh-huh.
I still... You know, as tired as his bat has looked and as in between as he's been on a lot of swings, I'd still go with the experience of JD here, even though he's, what, 0-31 now?
I was a little surprised, Howie, that they – and I'm going to trust the Mets because they've had a great track record of this year. I was surprised that they chose Peterson the way that he's been going over Quintana. What do you think about tonight's starter?
Toss-up, you know, I think that they thought about the opposition, too, that Quintana has faced recently. In some cases, hasn't been as strong. I was kind of flipping a coin there, too. I think they like Peterson's ability to get ground balls here. This is a fly ball hitting team. They do a lot of their damage with home runs, and I think that might have something to do with it. And, you know, don't forget, the situation also exists pending the potential for rainouts. And I don't know now that... since it's Wednesday, this plays in anymore because Quintana's scheduled to go on Friday. But I still wouldn't rule out him being available out of the pen if you've got an inning where they've got a couple of left-hand hitters coming up. And then, you know, see if that compromises anything for Friday. But, you know, it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck thing, and I think they just like the matchup with Peterson better than they do Quintana.
Yeah, it's wild. It would be wild anyway. Five games to go, one-game lead over Atlanta. Supposed to be playing them for a couple of games, but the weather impacting things here, not only potentially with this Braves series, but also in Milwaukee. It's just it is just crazy. It's exciting. It's what we love. It's crazy. The Mets' magic number, Howie, is 4. Am I correct on that?
Well, yeah. Look, the simplest thing is you win 2 out of 3 here, and you got nothing to worry about in terms of a postseason spot. And frankly, I think the Diamondbacks may be cooked. You know, when they blew that 8-0 lead in Milwaukee the other night, and then have lost the last two and been barely competitive against the Giants, you know, they just look like they're spent. You know, their pitching has been questionable throughout. They can hit. They could score runs. but I don't know. They look like they might have just about had it. So, I mean, it's certainly conceivable that both the Mets and Braves get in. But again, there are so many moving parts that are weather-related. The Royals, you know, they're playing for their lives, and they're coming in here over the weekend. And, you know, you hope – and I think the weather is good enough that if the Royals can get here, they should be able to play on Friday. But, you know, you're still looking at the potential for even a doubleheader here on Monday with the season on the line. And here's another scenario. Here's another scenario. Let's say that the games – well, it's a little less likely now that the Mets lost yesterday, but they could conceivably, depending on what happens in Milwaukee, get here on Monday, having clinched a playoff spot and having little of anything to play for against a Braves team that, given whatever Arizona does, might have everything to play for.
We said
and
that.
If you're the Mets, especially if you got to play a doubleheader, a meaningless to them doubleheader, which I think is kind of less than likely now, but you know, throw it out there just for fun. What are the Mets supposed to do about their pitching and how they utilize, you know, their players in games that mean nothing to them and everything to the opposition? You got to have some kind of competitive integrity, but, you know, that just kind of stirs the pot a little more too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Mets, I wouldn't throw anybody of note. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Best of luck, Howie, with the travels. Hopefully we get to clinch here. Next week we'll be talking some postseason with you.
That would be nice, guys. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. And by the way, he said competitive integrity. I don't care what the league thinks.
Baseball could kiss my ass.
Who cares? You got to set yourself up to be healthy and ready.
He's right. Like, I get it.
I understand that as well. Generally, you want to, you know, do what's right by the other teams. Nonsense. You got to set yourself up to be ready to play the next day.
Let Ottavino go the entire game.
Let him start.
All right, big boy, it's on you. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, get back to your calls here. We'll also have Susan Waldman coming up next hour. We'll get into the Yankee side of things as well. It's going to be fascinating to see how this whole thing plays out with the weather. What a joke.